Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. As we continue our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, we turn our attention to the gospel recorded through inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the evangelist Luke. Luke concluded his section of the resurrection story with these words. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, marveling about what had happened. So far, our text. We know the two great cycles or seasons that form the festival part of the church's calendar are Christmas and Easter. One of those, of course, celebrates the coming, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the other celebrates his glorious resurrection from the dead as victor over sin, death, and Satan. As we celebrate the second, let us also remember the first. When Jesus was born, an amazing announcement was made. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and laying in a manger. The shepherds responded to the good news that they heard of the birth of the Savior. They hurried to the place of his birth, and there they saw the Lord of life. Mary treasured these things in her heart, and the scriptures tell us that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. In our text for today, Peter also responds to the news that was told him. What he heard seemed to him to be unreal because it defied all of his human logic. It was counter to his human experience. I mean, after all, a dead person does stay dead, right? And Jesus was dead, certifiably dead. Did not Joseph of Arimathea and did not Nicodemus hold the body of Jesus in their arms? And did they not wrap the body of Jesus in the strips of cloth that formed his shroud, his burial cloth? Did they not hastily embalm the body of Jesus with myrrh and aloes? Did they not also oversee the rolling of the great stone in front of the tomb? Did not the Jewish leaders also post their own temple guard in order to protect the tomb? These women must have made some kind of error. There must have been a mistake because what they said seemed to be nonsense. Perhaps they lost their way in the pre-dawn darkness. Perhaps they looked in the wrong place, thinking a cave was the tomb in which Joseph of Arimathea had buried Jesus. Well, there was only one way to resolve this conflict, and Peter knew what it was. He, Peter, was going to see for himself. He was going to see the place where the Lord had been laid. He was not going to believe what his ears heard until his eyes could verify the fact. And now Peter gazed into the tomb where they lay Jesus' breathless clay. And what greets him? Strips of linen lying by themselves. The Savior, who identified himself at his birth by being wrapped in strips of cloth and being laid in a manger, has now revealed himself as the risen Savior by leaving strips of cloth as evidence of his resurrection. When the shepherds left the Christ child, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it marveled at what the shepherds had told them. Yes, the good news of Jesus' birth causes one to marvel at the great things that God has done. And Peter's reaction to the empty tomb was to marvel at what had happened. Did not the people of Jesus' day, when they saw his miraculous signs, did they not marvel at what he had done? They listened to his teachings and marveled at what he had said. To marvel at what God has done through his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ is an understandable human reaction. To marvel at Jesus' incarnation at his birth, to marvel at Jesus' miracles, to marvel at Jesus' teachings, to marvel at his vicarious atonement and his resurrection, that's an appropriate response. Luke uses this verb, to marvel, no less than 13 times in his gospel. For you exegetical types, that's thaumazo. And for Luke, thaumazo, to marvel, that means to acknowledge that something extraordinary, something supernatural has happened. To marvel. That's the response of a person who is struggling to comprehend words and facts that cannot be explained. Who can comprehend the great things that God has done for us? Who can comprehend God's grace, his unending and undeserved love? Who can comprehend the incarnation? Who can comprehend the resurrection? In truth, you and I are still marveling at what has happened. We believe the testimony of God's holy word. We trust in the promises of God. And by God's grace through faith, we trust that Christ has been raised from the dead and that our faith is not in vain. And in today's world, there are still those, like Peter, who hear the story of Jesus, and they do not believe us because our words seem to them like nonsense. But unlike Peter, they do not have an empty tomb upon which to gaze. They must hear the word of God, and that word of God must be spoken clearly, and we must proclaim that Christ has been raised from the dead. The message must be shared with all that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the debt of sin for all people, for all time. Good Friday paid the debt. Easter is the proclamation of that victory. The debt has been paid in full. And my friends, we are still marveling. Amen.